What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes, it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Ghost Stories Online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see, I did it written in paint where you just painted.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. The phone number 855-853-4802 to call in your real ghost story. Of course, you can also get it to us at the website at realghoststoriesonline.com, or if you would like to record your story on an audio device and get that over to us. You can email it to Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Tony and Jenny Brisky joining you once again for another fine episode of Ghost Stories.
Hello.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm lovely.
Good.
Are there, there's pets involved in at least one of the stories today?
Yes, at least one story.
Well, that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever have a ghost pet?
No.
No signs of a ghost pet?
Well, after Lena passed away, we thought we heard her jiggle her collar one more time, but that was it.
We did hear that, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Where was that? I have vague recollections of that.
It was in the basement at the last house.
Mm-hmm.
Just like when she would shake her head and you'd mm-hmm. hear her collar jingle.
Yeah.
And she's the only, we've only had one dog at a time, so we didn't have Bear yet, mm-hmm. so it wasn't another dog.
Sure.
And the cat primarily stays outside or in the garage, mm-hmm. so it wasn't the cat either.
Yeah.
We never did figure out what could have made that noise besides that.
That's true. That was the, so we did kind of have one ghostly encounter in the old house.
Yeah, we had that, and that was about it.
Yeah. I was trying to think. I had those occurrences when I was a kid, and I just brushed them off as me not realizing or just thinking, ah, it's just me. Mm-hmm. Or it felt like my cat was jumping on my bed, who is dead.
Sure.
But I thought that might have, I still think that might have been something.
Mm-hmm.
No, we do. Consider we get that sort of story a lot.
We do.
And you don't really, it's one of those things where also a lot of our people who write it in don't realize it till later. They're going, oh yeah, yeah. I kind of felt like I had that same thing happen too. So excited for that. We'll go to our first story here today. Of course, 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's go to Paige. Hi, Paige.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Paige. I'm the girl who wrote in about the Jamaican vacation with the bottles that kept moving in the mini fridge. So, I don't know if you read any of my other stories, but I had a couple. But what ended up happening after the freaking fridge was not a lot, actually. But, like, my niece never felt anything, but I always felt, like, in the bathroom there was something not right there. There was something bad in there. Like, it didn't want us there, and I didn't want it there. And the bathroom door was, it's kind of sticking out of the hallway. So it was like a hallway, and on one side of the hallway was the door out into the rest of the hotel, and then on the other side was our room, and along the hall was a bathroom door. And if you looked into the bathroom, you would see the bathroom mirror. And so I always kept the bathroom door closed because I didn't like looking at that mirror as I was passing, or I didn't like seeing it out of the corner of my eye, because I felt like if I looked there one of those times, I was going to look and I was going to see something I didn't want to see in the mirror, like either something like following me or something, just something I didn't want to see. I didn't like it at all. But yeah, and I've had a lot of stories like that recently, or for the past couple of years. Because my first story was about in the eighth grade when my grandmother passed away in our house, and how, like, I don't know, something just snapped in me because I was pretty close to her at the time, both physically and emotionally. And so, like, I've been seeing a lot of stuff and hearing stuff and feeling stuff wherever I go. And it's crazy because, well, it's not... I don't know how to explain the feelings, because it's like, it's bad is what I know when I'm in my house alone, because that's when I feel the most vulnerable, because there's a lot of stuff in my house. Like, I can feel there's like a little girl in the bathroom and she feels frightened, and then there's like an older girl with black hair, like a dark black dress, and she's like, she doesn't want us there. She's like, she doesn't want the little girl there. She doesn't like the little girl. She doesn't like me. And the little girl's afraid of her. But, and so I won't go down in the basement, because the two places the older girl likes to be is in the far end of the hallway and in the basement. And she'll only attack me. Like, my friends don't feel it. My parents, I don't know if they feel it. They don't talk about it a lot. But they're dead set on moving the minute I mouth to college, so I think they do know something's up. But yeah, so she'll like, oh, I won't feel comfortable in the basement. If I have to go down the basement to get something and I'm alone, I will book it. I will get whatever I need, and then I'll book it up the stairs out of there, because it's like she chases me. I can feel it. I can tell. Like, I won't see her, but I'll know it, and I'll know what she looks like, and I know that she doesn't like me. She wants to hurt me. So I don't like it at all. And I don't like being alone in the house because I'm a teenager now. And so I get that a lot. I feel her a lot. But that's not what I wanted to talk about at all. I wanted to talk about the other thing, which was the thing I keep talking about but never actually telling, which is the, Pet Cemetery story. And so, it's not really a cemetery, it's more like just a grave. So, and this is a story that stretches for a long time. This is one of my mom's favorite stories. She doesn't really believe in the paranormal, but she just loves it, and she loves making the joke that, oh, it's the ghost dog, like, that lives in our yard. But, so when my mom and dad first moved into this house, I was a couple months old, And they moved because the apartment they were living in was way too small for two adults and a child. And so they moved here. And this neighborhood used to be farmland. It used to be a big family farm. And the brothers, the grandchildren, or the great-grandchildren, I can't even tell. We don't talk to them much. The relatives of the family that used to own the farm, they still live here. They live to our left in an old farmhouse and a barn that are pretty much right next to each other, street-wise. And so the two brothers live there, and we don't really talk to them, which I find a shame because there's so much stuff here that I want to talk to them about. I want to ask questions, like, about history or if they feel anything, but I can't. So, because I'm not allowed, like, we don't talk to them much, so we don't know them, so I can't ask them questions. But when my mom and dad first moved, they were really good friends. They were becoming really good friends with our neighbors to our right. And on the first night we were there, I guess they heard something. Because the next day, they're talking apparently with my parents. Cause I heard this secondhand again. So they were talking with my parents, and they were saying, "Do you have a dog?" And my mom is a huge cat person. She doesn't like dogs. She hates them. She thinks they're smelly. So she said, no, we don't have dogs. We have cats. And she goes, "Really? Because we heard a dog barking in your yard last night. Like, we know it's your yard. We could tell. We could hear it. We didn't see anything, but we could hear a dog." And so my mom was like, "Well, we don't have a dog, so maybe it was some other dog from the neighborhood in our yard barking." And that's what they wrote it off as. But, like, as the week went on, like, the neighbors came back. They're like, "Seriously, every night we're hearing this dog in your yard just barking. You never hear that?" And they're like, "No, we don't hear anything. We never hear anything, but, and we still don't." But, the neighbors were, like, adamant. They're like, "No, there's a dog in your yard barking." And we're like, "Well, we don't know what to do." So, it got to the point where, the neighbors, like, they moved. I don't know if it was because they kept hearing barking in the middle of the night or if it was because of something else, but they moved to Texas. And they still have a house, so they rent it out to people who are looking to stay in town for the weekend, because this is a very good very good tourist town. And so people stay and they rent that house. And occasionally we'll talk to some of those people who are renting it out, and they'll be like, "Your dog barks a lot, like, in the middle of the night. It's pretty inconsiderate of you." And we're like, "We don't own a dog, sorry." So it's still going on. But, we've never heard it. But years later, from the first time this started, my mom decided, because she's a big gardener fan, she's like a master gardener, which is like this big honor, I guess, in a master gardener society sort of thing. So she decided she wanted to redecorate our front yard. She wanted to put all these gardens in there. She wanted to get rid of all the plum trees, because we have a lot of those, because I'm pretty sure our venue used to be a orchard, because there's so many plum trees in our yard. So she's like, "I'm tired of all these rotting plums. I'm tired of looking at these farm grass things." So she uprooted pretty much everything, and she was, like, planting pretty flowers everywhere. And my dad was helping her. And so I was around 7 or 8, I don't know, school age. And my dad was helping her. So he was ripping out in our front yard along our stone fence. He was ripping out these vines that grew along the grounds and everything, and as he was ripping them apart, he found this stone with the word "boy" on it, and it was B-O-Y, but it was capitalized, we think it's a name, but we're pretty sure it's a name. And so my dad's like, "All right, well, this has got to go, because it doesn't look nice, and it's not what my mom wants." So he took it out, and he starts digging under it, like he feels compelled to. Like, he doesn't know why, but he's digging under it. And he starts to dig up bones. And at one point, he digs up a perfect skull of what we guess is a dog. And so we call him Boy the Dog. And whenever people are like, oh, do you have a dog? Because it barks all the time. We're like, no, sorry, we don't have a dog. But there is Boy. You could be hearing Boy at the middle of the night. And, like, we won't tell him the story because we don't want him to look at us weird. But we'll, like, oh, it's probably just Boy. Like, so, yeah. Our ghost dog. And I've a lot of stuff that I can share. For instance, the two girls in the house. And there's a lot of other stuff that I've been seeing and hearing the last couple of years since I started high school that I can share too. Like, there's this really dumb story that I'm not even sure is real because I've never experienced it. I've never felt anything, but there's a rumor of a ghost in our computer labs that I'll share later, maybe. I'm not sure it's true though, but it's still a funny story. But it's a rumor that goes around. And yeah. So, I hope to hear this on the show, and you guys are doing an amazing job, and hope you're all settled in your new house, and I hope it's not haunted. Yeah, if your neighbors start complaining about dogs barking, and you keep your dogs in, if you have dogs, maybe you got a pet grave somewhere on your property. So, yeah. I don't know if I'll write in or not next time, but I'm definitely going to share some more stories. I might record them, actually, because this was kind of fun, just speaking out loud like this. But yeah, bye.
That's an interesting thing. You never really think, I mean, you think of, we joke about it a lot, you know, finding a human grave in the, like, the garden.
Sure.
Or something like that. But, you know, any home of almost any age, and doesn't even have to be that old, probably has a pet grave or two on it.
Yeah, could be. And I'm assuming, based on the story, that there wasn't any possibility of it being anybody else's dog anywhere close by.
Mm-hmm.
That the way the houses were set up, that if it wasn't, you know, their dog in their yard, they don't know where this could have been from.
I'm guessing not.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the thing, I mean, when you think of that too, I mean, a lot of open plots of land as well,
mm-hmm.
not even necessarily having a house on, mm-hmm. you know, that could have been used for a gravesite as well.
So I'm wondering if they put Boy's bones back or if they didn't, because they dug them up, but we never heard what happened after that.
Sure. I'm wondering, could just the act of disturbing them cause issues?
Well,
even if
you
do put them back, you know?
I don't know, because it sounds like it was going on before
mm-hmm.
they dug him up. But I was wondering if they didn't put him back, if maybe that would help.
Yeah. If not, I agree. At least it's something to try.
I don't know. That's funny.
Thank you for the story.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack. There's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
855-853-4802, our number. Hi, let's hear your ghost story.
Hey, Tony and Jen. This is Jimmy from Texas. Was from Texas, but now I'm in Louisiana. But I was the one with the story about the little trailer house in Hackett, Arkansas, the one that y'all said was like the perfect house that if someone wanted to live in a haunted house, and I agree. Today, I'd like to tell you a story of why that I have a closet phobia. It's a very, very scary phobia. Let's see, yeah, I'll just jump right into it. Okay. So there was this house in Pittsburgh, Texas that we lived in, me and my mother and my stepfather. It was a kind of an older house. It was on the outskirts of town, on a hill, kind of back in the woods, so it was kind of a nice little house. The rooms were really big, and my room had two closets in it. And from being very little, I've always known that I was sensitive. The family just runs in the family, so I knew, I felt something when we first moved in the house. But you know, as being a little kid, you can't really discern what is evil, what is not evil, and that kind of thing. So my bed was set up to where it's against the wall where I can see my door, and the door leads out into the hallway, which you pass by the bathroom on one side and my mother and father's room on the other side, and then into the living room, and then off to the living room, off from the living room, is the kitchen. And there's a coffee table in the living room, which I would sit at and do my homework, and I could see my bedroom door, but I'll explain why I gave that visual. It started a few nights in, and I was laying in my bed. And one closet is to the left of my door, and the other closet is to the right of my door. Really weird setup. Never really understood it. So what happens is I'm laying there about to go to sleep when I hear the door open. And it creaks open. It's like an older house. So, and I hear footsteps. So I look up thinking, you know, my mom's coming in or something or do something. And I see that the right closet door is open. And the footsteps start moving, and then the door closes. And the footsteps continue across the room to the other closet. That door opens, and then the footsteps disappear, and then that door closes. And it would do that about 3 times a night, starting around 1-ish in the morning. You know, I told my mom, but she kind of set it up to, you know, you're having bad dreams. So, you know, I was all like, okay, you know, why not? I you know, I've grown up with night terrors. I've lived through those even as a little kid. So it's whatever. So time goes by and I just get used to the sounds. You know, it did it every night. Well, one day I was in the living room and I was doing my homework. And, you know, I'm like a kindergarten first grade at this time. And in the corner of my eye, I see a black shadow cross. I hear the closet door open, and I kind of look up, and in the corner, well, I don't look up, but I see it in the corner of my eye, and I see the shadow pass by my door, because my door is open. Then I look up, and I hear the other closet door close. And so I call to my mom. I was like, Mom, did you hear that? And she's all like, yeah, what was that? I was all like, that was the door to my closet opening and closing and going to the other one and opening and closing. And I saw a shadow figure. So she freaks out. She grabs me. We go outside. And she goes around the house frantically checking windows, doors, making sure nothing's broken, you know, for burglaries and such. And then she calls the owner of the house. And the owner of the house comes and he looks around the house. There's nothing really there. So she sends me in and she goes, she talks with the owner for a little bit and comes back in. Nothing like that ever happened, you know. Well, I mean, strange things happen around the house, like things disappearing, you know, the normal kind of haunting kind of things. But then we decided to move, and this is when we first moved to Arkansas, to a town called Mena. But it was like a couple of days before the move, and I heard the closet door open. You know, I'm thinking, oh, well, here we go again. And instead of footsteps, I don't hear the footsteps. So I look up, and I see this black shadowy figure emerge from the closet. And it just kind of starts to, instead of being like a shape of a person, it goes into like a mist, and it flows above my bed. And it's sitting there holding me down. And I remember trying to scream. I mean, you may chalk this up to be like a sleep paralysis kind of thing, which it might have been, but at the same time, with it coming out of the closet and me having those issues with the closet, I think not. All I remember is this black shadow above me. I could feel the wind. It was not even a cool wind. It was more of a warm wind. And its eyes, which were like these blue dots, and they pulsated with like, you know, you're seeing something, like you're seeing the frost coming off something that's cold, and it kind of looked like that. And I don't know how long it held me there, but eventually it just kind of floated back to not the same closet it came out, but the other closet, and shut the door. After that, I ran into my mom's room and slept with her, and I slept with her and my father until we moved. Well, I asked my mom exactly what happened until, you know, about a few years later, until about a few years ago, sorry. I'm 23 now, so. And she's like, oh my God, you know, I didn't know that would happen. And then, you know, she calls back. I mean, then she tells me. She goes, well, that day you saw the figure, she says, when I sent you back in, the owner of the house tried to make a move on me, and it was very forceful. And I looked into his eyes, and his eyes had very, very mischievous intent. She said, I was scared for my life. So I ran inside, and, you know, and I kind of remember that she didn't just walk in. She kind of ran inside, closed the door, and locked it. I thought, you know. I didn't think nothing of it. I was a little kid. And she goes, so I went and called your dad, and, you know, and that's why we moved, mainly, is because of that. And she told me, she said, you know, he lived in this house before we did, and, you know, only God knows what he did inside that house before we moved in. So, to me, whatever that thing was, and I chalk it up to as a demon, that's just how I chalk it up to, was probably summoned or manifested by him and things he did inside that house, and it just doesn't sound good. So now every house I walk into, I have to get a big room, I have to have the door closed off from my vision as I sleep, or I take the door off its hinges, especially if it's one with a knob. Now if it's a sliding open door, I'm okay with that, no problems with that, but it's just doors with knobs. And if someone leaves a light on in the closet or they leave a door open, I always get onto them because it scares me to death. I'll come around the corner to be open. I will jump. The visions just pop into my head of those doors opening, and I just can't handle it. It scares me. But I just wanted to share that because, you know, it's one of my childhood traumas of the paranormal, and it still lives in me today. And I still can't get over that. There's just... I mean, every time I hear y'all have a story about a closet, I freak out. You know, I'm all like, no, none of that. But anyway, love the show. Keep it up. And I hope this goes through because my last one didn't and I had to write it in. And I'll talk to y'all later.
You know, it does sound like sleep paralysis, but the aspect of the creepy landlord who's got bad intentions, that kind of skews it. Maybe it is something else, maybe something from when he lived there, or maybe something that kind of changed him to do bad things.
I could see that. What I wonder about is, he was talking about when he felt like the mist or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know, that was kind of going through him, and he said it felt really cold. I'm wondering if when you have these different things that go through you, or you experience them, or you feel them, the temperature of them, are they, is it always cold? Is it warm? And does that then reflect a little bit more upon what type of thing it is that that you're experiencing?
I don't think it's always cold, because there's some times where we have listeners write in that it's a positive experience and mm-hmm. they feel this warmth, like something's hugging them.
Yeah, that's kind of makes me wonder
mm-hmm.
with things like that. But I think in this case, you know, it's interesting because you think, you know, evil, dark, fire, hell, you know, but the entities always seem to be described as extremely cold,
mm-hmm.
and it's the ones that are like the warm, cuddly
warm,
hug
mm-hmm.
are like the good ones.
Sure.
So it's just, that's an interesting observation that he made there in the story.
Yeah.
It's kind of stood out to me, maybe kind of ask questions.
Sure.
About it. So Jimmy, thank you for calling in and sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to another caller. Claire, hi.
Hi, my name is Claire. I have called in previously, but I haven't done so for about a year now. I've been listening since then. But in the previous stories that I called in, I called in about a figure in my childhood bedroom, a man in a bowler hat and an overcoat, who liked to kill my fish. And I described that as possibly being sleep paralysis or night terror. And I called in about another story from my mom, and it was about her guardian angel who was with her when I was being born dead, because I was born dead. And you speculated about whether or not that thinning of the veil of being born dead would make me more in tune with the spirits. And you're not the first nor the last person who has speculated that, but I did not at the time think that. I thought that I was pretty deaf and dumb to the spirit world, which is frankly how I would like it to be. But since I called in a year ago, I've done some work in getting to know myself better, becoming more of the person that I know I actually am, and it has had so many positive effects. It's been wonderful. I feel so in myself, and it's helped my relationship with my husband and just so many other things. It's been wonderful, but there's also been a dark side, and that is this. Like I called in before, over a year ago, and said that I was visited by this specter in my dreams, and I said at the time that was the only time that it happened, and it was. It's not the only time now. So in the last year, I've been visited on two different occasions, and it's not easily explainable to me via stress or anything like that, because I was not stressed at work or in my relationship at the time that these things happened. They just happened. The house that my husband and I have lived in for the last 3 years was built in 79. We are aware of the entire history of it. Nobody, to our knowledge, has died here. It was abundantly not haunted. Absolutely not haunted. But at some point in the last year, I started being visited by things in the night. Or at least it seems so. So it happened two separate times, and I feel like by two separate entities. The first one, I would be falling asleep in bed with my husband and my dog, and in the space between sleeping and wakefulness, I would become aware of a figure standing over me at the side of the bed. And most of the time it was just like a figure, like just a black space, not even like a shadow, but just a black space. And that first one, too, my memory didn't really say anything. He just stood there, was incredibly menacing. And I would try to scream in my sleep, or not necessarily scream at that point. I would try to yell my husband's name because I wanted him to wake me up. And on one instance, my dog, a little pug, who sleeps in bed with us, was woken up. I was trying to yell my husband's name, and I was trying to, like, move my limbs, which was nigh impossible. But I did something and my dog woke up and ran up towards my face because she loves to lick my face and my husband's. And then she started growling at the figure. And then once my dog started growling, my husband woke up and could hear me making these sounds, and he shook me awake. But our dog kept, after that, growling at that space, at the wall. It was very eerie. I don't know. But that one wasn't that bad. That one visited me for about 2 weeks. And that was hard. I started to dread going to sleep. But it wasn't all that bad. The next one was really bad. The next one, which happened in April, it's August now, and this last one happened in April. He visited me for a month, give or take. And I would be falling asleep and be in that space between sleep and waking, and then he would be there. And this one said things to me. He would say, "I'm gonna kill your dog. I'm gonna kill your husband. I'm gonna kill you." And then in one particularly disturbing incident that after that, I'm talking about the first time, it happened more times afterwards, but the first time this happened, he took his hands and plunged them into my abdomen, into the space that my stomach and womb and all that occupy. And I was screaming. I was screaming in my head. I was trying to scream, but, and this is how I know that I was in that space between sleep and waking, but I wasn't absolutely asleep, is that I could hear my own voice. I could hear my voice trying to scream, and I could hear that all that was happening was like strangled yelps. I wasn't making it come through, but my husband heard them and he woke up and he would shake me awake. But the specter had plunged his hands into my abdomen and I could feel it. I could feel it. Before my husband woke me, I could feel it. It was radiating up and down my spine. I could feel it all throughout my body, but especially in my abdomen. And it wasn't quite pain, but just something like energy. I don't know, but it was not good. It wasn't good. And then after my husband woke me, I could still feel it. I could still feel it. My whole core was just tingling and tender. I could press on my abdomen around my belly button and it would hurt. And I never had any bruising because of it afterwards or anything like that, but I could feel it even after I woke up. And that happened for a month, and my husband just got used to waking me up in the middle of the night. And he was concerned about me. I told my mom about it, the one of the guardian angel story, and she was concerned about me, not because of some paranormal thing, but because she thought I was going crazy. I felt like I couldn't actually tell anybody about this, but it kept happening and happening and happening. And I don't know why. I've heard that loose traveling spirits can follow water and beside or beneath our house there is a stream, a creek that used to be above ground and they built our neighborhood and it's now below ground and it runs, I know, beside our house because the ground is slowly continuing to depress there, but possibly under a house. I don't know if that's what it is. I have no idea, but I've been haunted by these, what feel to me as absolutely the second one, what feels to me like malevolent spirit. And I tried saying to the second one, leave, you're not welcome here, but I was trying to say that in my...
I think that's it. I think she ran out of time, but I think we get the gist of it, that it's not a really particularly old home, mm-hmm. and it hasn't always had something going on, but just here recently, things are escalating. And I kind of wonder if maybe it is partly, you know, the veil for her has been thinned, mm-hmm. so maybe spirits can see or sense her a little bit easier, and maybe something has just latched onto her somewhere, and it could be anywhere.
It really could be. I mean, it could be someone else in her life that she's been around. That's where this is coming in from. Mm-hmm. There's so many possibilities here, and unfortunately, it's almost impossible to really narrow it down without kind of doing a thorough examination of every portion of her life.
Sure.
To really get a grasp on that. But it's hard to know.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously there is something there. I would like to hear more about that. You know, if she can call back in and maybe think about some of those things a little bit and tell us if there's any other clues.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we can give a better examination.
Sure.
Anything else?
No, I think that's about it.
That's all you can really say at this point. Thanks for calling in.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
855-853-4802 is our phone number. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Mackenzie calling from Denver, Colorado. I'm the one that called about working at the old Chuck E. Cheese building where the shooting happened in the 90s. I apologize in advance. I think I'm catching a cold or something. And also be warned, we have cats and dogs in the house, so they might make some background noise. Anyway, so the story I have today is a little family story from when I was a teenager and I was living with my parents' house and in my parents' house, that's what I was going to say. My parents live on 10 acres of land out in the country, and I'm just going to give a little backstory. There was a neighbor that we had, and for the sake of the story, I'm just going to call her Ivy. And she was decently close with my mom. They would visit a lot. She was pretty lonely because her family had pretty much abandoned her, and she had been estranged from her children because of crappy rumors that her family would pass around and stuff. Anyway, she had gotten cancer, and she died. And in her will, she donated her house to the Catholic Church. She was hoping that they would use it for anyone who was homeless or anything to help them. Well, the Catholic Church went in and found asbestos and some other stuff, and so they decided to tear it down and use it as storage space, I guess. So after the church decided to tear down the house, her family came in and took out anything they could get money from, like copper wiring and things they could sell. But they left a bunch of family heirlooms. So my mom decided to go and salvage what she could of family heirlooms. Like, there was a bunch of war medals that her husband had got while he served. There was family photo albums. There was just lots and lots of stuff. And we pulled all that out, and my mom got in contact with her estranged children and tried to return them to them and reconnect some ties since she was gone. After we had done that and we had gone through the house and salvaged all this stuff, my little brother, my mom, and I started experiencing things in the house, in our house. Like, my little brother and I, when we would be right on the verge of sleep, we would hear someone call our name, and it was like a whisper almost, but it was right inside of our ear. It wasn't like I didn't hear it down the hall or whatever. It was like right in your ear, almost inside your head, kind of. It was really weird. And you would jump awake, and then you wouldn't hear anything after that. And then we would see like shadow things moving around, like shadow cats, shadow figures and stuff. Not like deep, dark, like shadow man kind of stuff, just like a little shadowy image in the corner of your eye. And my mom said she would see what looked like a ripple, kind of like how she said how the predator from the movies looks when he goes invisible, how it's just this ripple. She would see this like little sparkly ripple in the corner of her eye. Anyway, so she would wake my little brother and I up, and we assumed it was her because it was not too long after she passed, by saying her name, and it was always a female voice. And I told my mom about it, and she said next time it happens to ask what she wants. And so I did that. Next time it happened, I just asked what you want, and I didn't hear anything that day because I had already woken up, and it's like it cuts off your stream of communication when you wake up. Like, you have to be like semi-conscious. And so the next night, I'm falling asleep, and instead of calling my name, she says either go look outside or go put it outside. I wasn't sure which, so I got up and I went to our back door, which is a sliding glass door, and I was looking out. My mom came out and she saw me, and she's like, what are you doing? And I told her what happened, and that she said to go put it outside or go look outside. And my mom walks over to our bookshelf, and she grabs a small turquoise Fabergé egg that we had grabbed from Ivy's property, and she opens it up and pours it into a bowl, and inside the Fabergé egg was some of her husband's ashes. And the next day, my mom went and spread her husband's ashes over on the land where they lived, and we never heard her again. She never woke my little brother eye up. My mom stopped seeing little ripples and stuff. My family's house still has shadows and things that move around, but I'm pretty sure it's not her. We've had stuff that was there before she ever lived there, and there's a lot of history to the land there that I'll probably call in or write in and tell about later. But yeah, that's my story for today. Have a good one, you guys.
Okay, so part of the ashes were in the egg. It makes you wonder if maybe the neighbor hadn't already spread the rest of the ashes and she was just hanging on to that little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was like, no, it all needs to be together.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's interesting. Do ghosts have really strong feelings about their ashes and it maintaining itself as one? I suppose it's a personal preference, really, more than anything.
It makes you wonder if they can't move on, or they can't, mm-hmm. you know, be a whole ghost
at peace.
Yeah,
when they're in separate pieces.
Yeah,
for lack of a better.
And I hate to say that because I know there's people that, you know, when a parent passes away, several of the siblings mm-hmm. will take
sure
a little bit. I don't know. It just makes you wonder because it seemed very important to this. Mm-hmm. particular lady that her husband's ashes are together, I guess.
Maybe it's just about the wishes of that individual.
Could be.
If they want to be all together and that's not honored, it's separate. You know, maybe that's part of what it is.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, it's hard to know what it was in this case. I know some people who that's what their wishes were. They wanted them spread out amongst all the people. It was like in their will of this person gets sowing, you know, as much of my ash. This person gets that. And that's what they're, I suppose if you're following that, it's good. And then maybe it's not so good if you don't follow that.
Sure.
You know, maybe that's part of what that was.
Maybe.
It's very hard to know. Thank you for sharing that that story with us. Our phone number, of course, 855-853-4802. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, want to help keep us on the air, become an EPP, extra podcast person, sign up to become one on our website. That is very easy to do. It is simply ghostpodcast.com. Click Become an EPP. Get all of our bonus episodes, all those archived ones, the regular episodes that have fallen off iTunes, get those as well. So all in all, it's like 400-some episodes up there for you to binge away on at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What if you could get more from what you already do? When you're a Shell Fuel Rewards member, you can. When you join, you'll save 10 cents per gallon on your first fill, 20 cents per gallon on your second, 30 cents per gallon on your third, and more savings on every fill after that. Join the Shell Fuel Rewards program in the Shell app and enjoy life with more. Your nearest Shell station is closer than you think.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, Lady Luck?
Bretzky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just $10.
$10 for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.